Let's each pray to prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn from His Word and ask Him to show you something that He wants you to see today. God, I thank You that You have revealed Yourself, that You have told us who You are. You've told us really who we are, because we're made by You, who we're supposed to be in relationship with You, and You've given us guidance on how to live from the One who created this life. So God, I pray that we would look to You, to what You say to us, for all those things. As we're here this morning for that, God, that we would each be listening to Your Spirit and willing to respond as He speaks to us using Your written word. We love You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I told a story of a guy that I had talked to who was justifying his selfish and sinful actions by making it sound like he was spiritual. Well, it seems that there's been a positive turn of events. He started to see the negative consequences in his life of the decisions that he had made, and he seemingly wants to turn away from the bad course of action that he was on. So this is fantastic, because not everyone, and I would even say most people, are not willing to change course even when they see negative consequences from their choices. I was able to step in and speak to him, and felt like there were some things the Lord wanted me to say to him, and I think he accepted that as truth. And so it's a great start of a turnaround. In the time of Hosea, the people of Israel would not turn around. They are examples of people who aren't willing to change course, even when they were seeing bad consequences in their lives of their choices. And they were being warned of further consequences to come. We've been studying through the Old Testament book of the prophet Hosea. And at that time in history, the people of Israel were not following the Lord, and they were involved in all kinds of sin. And the prophet Hosea was trying to call the Israelites to turn away from their sin and turn back to the Lord and follow the Lord, but they just wouldn't do it. And so the Lord was going to punish them. We'll see in today's passage that the Lord was going to reverse. He was going to undo all the good that He had done for them. We don't want to be like Israel. We don't want to be like those who won't turn away from our sin. We don't want to be those who reject the call of the Lord, which He may be giving us through a person, a warning to turn. We don't want to be like most people who aren't willing to change course, even when they see the negative consequences of their choices. We want to listen to the Lord when He's showing us that we're going the wrong way. Whether He tells us that through the message of a person, or we realize it by the negative consequences we're seeing in our lives. We want to listen to and obey the Lord and get the good which comes from following Him. Please open your Bible to the book of Hosea. Probably getting used to this, but flip it in about an open it in half and then start flipping toward the back. Hosea's right after Daniel's a long book, so you'll probably run into that, but then Hosea's a little shorter, so you don't want to miss it. Hosea chapter 9. As I said, the people wouldn't turn away from their sin and back to the Lord. And so the Lord was going to reverse, undo all the good that He'd done for them. Please look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 while I read, where we start to see that. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations, for you have played the harlot, forsaking your God. You have loved harlot's earnings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and wine press will not feed them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land, But Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they will eat unclean food. They will not pour out drink offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not please him. Their bread will be like mourner's bread. All who eat it will be defiled. For their bread will be for themselves alone. It will not enter the Lord's house. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they will go because of destruction. Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them. Weeds will take over their treasures of silver. Thorns will be their tents. So Israel was an agricultural society, and in every agricultural society, harvest time is a joyous time, a time to celebrate for everyone. And Israel was supposed to celebrate the harvest in the Lord's presence because they were supposed to recognize that it was because of the Lord that they had what they had. Well, the nations around them would also celebrate at harvest time, but they believed that their false gods gave them the harvest. And so they would celebrate their false gods. And part of them celebrating their false gods around the people around Israel would have sex with their temple prostitutes. And the reason it says here that they would do it on the threshing floor is because at harvest time, that's where they would do it. And Hosea uses that gross imagery to condemn Israel for worshiping false gods. Hosea told Israel, "Do not rejoice because they would not have a good harvest, because further punishment was coming. It seems their crops were already failing, and there was worse to come. And it was because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord." He pictures the Israelites as pagan prostitutes because they were participating with these false gods. And due to this, the Lord was going to take them out of His land, which He had given them as a good gift for so long. They would be taken captivity by Assyria and exiled out of the land of Israel. Similar to Israel being captive in Egypt hundreds of years earlier, they were going to be captive in Assyria. Because of not being in their land, or really the Lord says here, it's my land, because of not being in His land, they would no longer have the Lord's temple for celebrating, for worshiping, for making the sacrifices necessary to get their sins forgiven. And they would not celebrate the feasts that the Lord had appointed for them, because the feasts that the Lord appointed were tied to them being the Lord's people and were tied to them being in this good land, and they were celebrating all of the good things the Lord was giving them, and they weren't going to have those things anymore. They weren't going to have the Lord, and they weren't going to have the land, and so the feasts were no longer either. Figuratively, they would return to Egypt and lose all that Israel had gained in coming out of Egypt, out of slavery, hundreds of years earlier. So the Lord had this special relationship with Israel. He created Israel, really. And Israel was slaves in Egypt. And the Lord rescued them. He took them out of Egypt. And He brought them into this land that He had promised them. And in that land, He gave them all sorts of things, like we've been, you know, talking about here. He gave them abundant crops and so much more. He gave them the temple. They were supposed to build the temple and gave them plenty of supply to do it so that they could worship the Lord. And He gave them celebration. These festivals that they were supposed to celebrate their prosperity and celebrate the fact that they had relationship with the Lord. But Israel, by this time in history that we've been talking about, they didn't love the Lord anymore. Their relationship with the Lord was broken. And instead, they were loving their sin. And the prophet was calling them to repent of their sin and to return to the Lord, that the Lord was willing to forgive them and accept them back like he always had. But they were rejecting that. They wouldn't do it. And so the Lord was going to take Israel and erase, undo all that he had done for them and take them back to metaphorical Egypt, which this time would be Assyria, where they would be exiled out of their land and have no more of these good things that the Lord had been giving them, and they would be out of relationship with the good Lord. If you have seen the Lord's favor in your life, which if you've been following the Lord at all, I'm sure you've seen good from the Lord in your life, don't turn away from his ways. It just may be that the Lord will undo the favor that he has given you. And by the way, don't take the Lord's favor for granted. Always recognize that the good things that are coming to you are from the Lord in some way. Thank him. Keep thanking him. And keep following him. How did Israel know that they were going the wrong way? How did they know that they needed to turn back to the Lord? Because they were still kind of going through like religious motions. They were still doing religious stuff that the Lord had told them to do, making sacrifices and things like that. So how did they know that the Lord was upset and that they were just going through the motions? Because the Lord spoke to them through people, prophets. Prophets spoke for God, but Israel rejected them. Please look at verses 7 through 9 while I read. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is crazy because of the abundance of your iniquity and because your hatred is so great. The watchman of Ephraim, with my God, a prophet, yet a snare of a bird catcher is in all his ways. And there is only hostility in the house of his God. They have gone deep in depravity, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Remember, this is poetry, so I know there's some things in there that we're going, what? Well, that's what I'm here for. We're going to explain these things. So days of punishment were already upon Israel, and more was coming because the Lord was punishing them for their sin. God had tried to call them back to himself, but as we've seen in previous chapters, the Israelites wouldn't turn away from their sin and they wouldn't turn back to the Lord. God had tried to call his people back to himself through prophets. Now, when we hear prophets, we might think, oh, mighty man of God. But prophets were just normal dudes that God called into service. And so, yeah, they became mighty, they became known and stuff like that. But like this guy, Hosea, we don't even know who he was, except for that he wrote this book of prophecy because God was speaking to him. Seems to just be like a nobody that God called. He's just a dude, probably a godly dude, who was willing to do what the Lord said. Prophets speak forth the truth of God and call people to action, usually repentance, which is that idea of turning away from sin and to God. But the prophet, being the Lord's spirit-inspired messenger, was apparently considered by Israel to be fools and crazy. And it says here that the reason that they thought that of the prophets was because Israel had gotten themselves into such a bad place, deep into sin and hating anything to do with God. God himself, his ways, his messenger. When somebody has gotten so deep into their bad decisions, so deep into their sin, and you point out their error, what do most people do? They get mad at you, right? They get mad at you. They call you stupid. They think you're crazy for believing that the Lord's ways are good and for calling them to live those ways. Verse 8 refers to the prophet as a watchman with God and a snare of the bird catcher. So a watchman, in its literal sense, would be a guy like on a, they have a city with a wall around it, and they would put a watchman up on top of the wall. They would look outside the city and look for any invaders coming, and then they would warn the people in the city, right? That just, hey, we're being attacked, destruction's coming, so that the people could take action. Well, here this is being used metaphorically. The watchman of God is to look out for people who are in sin and warn them. Because your own sin is the destruction that's coming. And as the snare of the bird catcher, presumably the bird catcher is God, and the snare is the prophet. This is another metaphor, probably referring to catching people in their sin. You see, this is how the Lord works. The Lord utilizes His people to see and catch His other people in sin and warn them. So when a godly person warns you about your behaviors, when a godly person offers you counsel about your life, you should consider seriously what they say. And consider if this is the Lord's way of speaking to you is through this person. Don't get mad at the person. Listen. I've shared before, I've had people come to me and say things that I thought were crazy. People say things to me that I thought were wrong. And I try to make it a practice that I don't get mad at them, no matter what they're saying. Even when I've had people even say it in really mean, rude ways. And I try not to get mad at them. My practice is I go away and I pray about what they said. And sometimes the Lord has told me, yeah, they didn't say it in a nice way, but what they're saying is true. It's my message to you. Or He said, yeah, they were wrong in the thing that they were saying, but here's what I'm getting at with you. Because my heart is that I want to hear what the Lord has to say. And sometimes that comes through a person. So don't get mad at the person. Listen. And consider if what they have said is true, even though you may not like it. And if there's something the Lord wants you to do, if there's something that He wants you to change, respond to the Lord before you go too far the wrong way. I was in Flagstaff one time, and I was up on Route 66. I've looked at a map so many times, and I'm like, how did I do this? I finally figured it out. Although I can't even remember what the city was. I was up on Route 66, and I was supposed to catch 17 coming back, and I missed it. And I kept going to the west, and I ended up in, what's out there, Kingman? I ended up in Kingman, which I think was even a little bit past the freeway that comes back to Phoenix. And I just kept going thinking, oh, I'm going to run into something that I see instead of stopping and turning around, because there's nothing between Flagstaff and there. And so I just kept thinking, oh, I'll just go a little further, and I'll go a little further, and I'll go a little further. And all of a sudden, I'm in Kingman. I should have turned around. And by the time I got there, it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'd been skiing all day. I was super tired, and I'm like, I got 2 hours still to drive to Phoenix. Something was telling me the whole time, you're not on the right freeway. When somebody speaks to you and tells you you're going the wrong way, think about it seriously before you end up too far in the wrong direction. If you're a Christian and you see a brother or sister in Christ who's in sin, it's changed a little bit how God works. He doesn't just use the special prophet. We still do have people that get the gift of prophecy, but when you see a brother or sister in Christ in sin, Jesus said that He expects every single one of us to go to that brother and show them their sin, to try to win them back away from their sin and to the Lord. But even if it's not sin per se, but a bad direction that you think you see somebody headed, and you sense that you need to speak to that person about it, don't ignore that little voice. The Lord very well may be tapping you, calling you into service. Like I said, prophets are common believers that the Lord inspires and calls into service. If the Lord taps you, to speak, you should speak. But be prepared if you call someone out of sin and to the Lord, if you caution someone about the decisions they're making, about their bad direction, if you speak God's truth to them, they very well may get mad at you. They may call you stupid. They may think that what you're telling them is crazy. Now, that shouldn't keep us from speaking, because if the Lord wants us to speak, we should speak, but we just need to be prepared that that's what we might run into. And then the way that we help ourselves to speak anyway is, remember, if you're serving the Lord and you're speaking what He wants you to, that person is not right about you, what they're saying. They just don't want to hear from the Lord, and you are being the Lord's messenger, so they're taking it out on you. But you can take solace in that you're serving the Lord. The next section is another statement of tragic reversal. The Lord had been giving blessings to Israel, but they turned away from Him, and so they were going to lose His blessings. Please look at verses 10 through 17 while I read. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame. And they became as detestable as that which they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Though they bring up children, I will bereave them until no man is left. Yes, woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is planted in a pleasant meadow like Tyre. But Ephraim will bring out his children for slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give them? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there because of the wickedness of their deeds. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. The root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to Him, and they will be wanderers among the nations. Starts out on a positive. Going back in history, the Lord found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I think this refers to Him finding Abraham and calling him. He called Abraham to leave his country and go and wander this land that God would give him. He says, like grapes in the wilderness. You don't find grapes in the desert, typically. Well, unless you're at Stone Creek. We got this piece of desert over here, and apparently they're planting grapes. But typically, you don't find grapes in the desert. And so if you did, if you were wandering around the desert and you found grapes, it would be fantastic. This is likely referring to how the Lord delighted in what He would do with Israel, His plans for this nation that He was going to develop to be His people. They had such promise. The forefathers, so the earliest descendants of Abraham, were like the earliest fruit of the fig tree in its first season. Again, this speaks of delight, of pleasure that the Lord took in Israel early on, and He was showing them favor. The Lord started with one man, Abraham, who the Lord miraculously gave children, and they grew into a tremendous nation of millions of people from one man. And the Lord gave them their own land, this good land which produced abundantly to bless them, to make them prosperous. And the Lord did all this so that they would be His people. But listen, to be His people, to represent Him here on earth. We often, when we think of ourselves as God's people and blessings upon us and stuff like that, we're so selfish, we just think it's about us. But the Lord takes a people for Himself so that they will represent Him to the rest of the people around. Israel, if you read the Old Testament carefully, was supposed to be a beacon to all the nations around that worship false gods. So that all those nations would who were worshiping false gods in ways that were totally different, would see Israel worshiping God in the ways that he had told them, and they would look at them and go, what? What are they doing over there? Why? And they would see these people living, this people of Israel living in totally different ways than all the pagan nations were living. And if anybody ever looked in at Israel, they were supposed to go, what? They lived completely different than we do. And they were supposed to find out that the reason why Israel was so different is because they worshipped the one true God. That's supposed to be the same for us as Christians. God doesn't bring us into a relationship with Him just to give us heaven and just to bring blessings into our life, even though He does that. He has called us to represent Him here on earth. People are supposed to look at our lives and see the way that we live, and it's supposed to be totally different than all the people who don't believe in Him, and they go, what's up with that? They're supposed to see our kindness and our love and our generosity and our purity and our holiness and go, what is that? What's going on over there? And we tell them, it's because I worship Christ. He's the one true Lord. And in Israel's case, they turned to the Baals. Baals were the made-up gods that the nations around them were worshiping. So instead of being a light to those people and showing those people something different, they joined them in worshiping their gods. The Baals were supposed to bring fertility. As I said last week, people want things in life. And so they imagined gods that could give them the things that they wanted. And the gods that were made up to give fertility of the womb and of crops were the Baals. It's weird that Israel turned to the Baals to give them the very things the Lord had been providing for them. Christians do similar today. Seek other sources for what we want instead of sticking with the Lord and being happy with the things that He provides for us. Hosea calls it a shame and detestable. So the glory, the greatness of Israel would fly away like a bird. The things the Lord had done for them that they had turned and sought the Baals for would be taken away from them because the Baals couldn't provide them. They were fake gods. They weren't even real. They couldn't provide anything for Israel. So God was going to show them, if I pull back, it's all gone. The fertility of the womb would go away. The children they already had would die. This was the Lord undoing the blessings that He had given them. From Abraham, they multiplied into a tremendous nation, but now their population was going to be decimated because the Lord was departing from Israel. See, all the good was tied up with the Lord. The good that was happening to them was tied up with the good Lord. And so if the Lord removed Himself, the good goes with Him. Then the Lord was going to make them depart from the good land which He had given them. And it says they would be wanderers among the nations. The Lord had stopped Israel's wandering in the desert when He brought them into this good land, but now there's going to be a reversal of that. The Lord was going to take them back out of the good land. It says, because they have not listened to Him. It says verse 17. Now, have not listened to Him, that may be a reference back to them not listening to the prophets, which was actually the prophets were speaking the Lord's message. This word, listened, means to listen in order to obey. They had not listened to the Lord in order to obey Him. They listened to Him in the sense that they were still going through some religious practices, some religious ritual, but they were not listening to Him in order to follow Him, to obey Him, to live for Him. There are blessings that come from following the Lord. They're not always material blessings. Following the Lord's ways can lead to relationships being healthy. Following the Lord's ways can lead to peace in your soul. But sometimes the Lord does give material blessings. For sure, He did it with Israel. But no matter what the blessings are, they are usually the result of listening to the Lord and obeying what He says. The ways that He tells us to live are good, and so they often have good results connected with doing things His ways. On top of that, when we're following the Lord and doing things that He wants us to do, we're in good fellowship with God. We're in right relationship with God. And so when we're in good fellowship with God, sometimes He just gives special favor to us that we don't deserve. Like with my kids, there's things that I give them that are tied to their performance, right? They have to do something and get this thing. But there are a lot of things that I do for them that they don't deserve. They did nothing for. I just give it to them because they're my kids and we're in relationship and I love them. And so here you go. Here's a sweet thing. And the Lord does that for us sometimes when we're in loving relationship with Him. Don't forfeit those things by going away from the Lord and His ways. You may think that you can get those things, like good relationships, peace, prosperity, by going after it in some other way, other than following the Lord and His ways. But all the evidence suggests that it doesn't work. Israel is one example that it didn't work. As soon as they went away from Him, all the blessings went away. And if we observe carefully people's lives around us, there are tons of people who don't know the Lord and who don't follow the Lord who are pursuing to get things in this life apart from the Lord. And if we look carefully, we'll see it's not working. Even one of the common responses when I say something like that is people go, well, I got lots of friends that don't follow the Lord and they're prosperous. And I'm like, really? If you look carefully, I bet most of them are broke and all the stuff that they have is on debt. So it's not even theirs. And God actually says they're a slave because the borrower is the slave to the lender. So they're not prosperous. Or if it seems like the way that they're doing things works for a little while, eventually it falls apart. Just watch their life long enough, and probably some of you have watched people's lives long enough and you've seen that they just crumble. True good is bound up with the one true God. True good is bound up with the one true God. Trust Him. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Let's each pray and listen to apply what we learned today. The Holy Spirit can speak to your mind using what you've heard in God's Word. And so would you listen for that? For a few moments, do you know that you need to turn from some bad direction you're going? Maybe it's not even sin the way that you see it, but you aren't going the direction God wants. Would you listen if that's true of you? Has a godly person spoken to you about something? Do you need to heed what they've said to you? Are you seeking what you want in life away from the Lord? If any of those are true of you, or maybe the Lord has spoken something else to you that's not good, would you repent? That is, to tell God you want to turn away from the bad direction. You want to turn away from sin. You want to turn back fully to Him and follow Him. God, I pray for each one of us that we would trust You. Even if what we hear from You doesn't make sense to us initially, even if it's against what we normally would think or do, that we would trust You and do it Your way. And I absolutely believe, Lord, that everybody who does that will see Your good eventually. I know I can testify, and there are many others here that I know can testify, Lord. There were things that I heard that You said to me that I didn't want to do or that didn't make sense to me, but because of trust in You, I did it Your way. And either months or weeks sometimes, sometimes even days down the road, I saw the good of you. I saw the good of your ways. And so now every time you tell me something, it's so much easier, Lord, to follow you into it because I know you're good. I know your ways are good. I pray that everybody here would have that experience, but we have to trust you first. Trust you enough to walk your way, to listen to you. May we do it. And see that good is bound up with you, the one true God, our Lord. And so we pray in Jesus' name, and all those who agreed said, Amen.